Have you ever absolutely ruined something? Have you ever killed the vibe? Well, yesterday I did it twice. We were at Panera, not Panera. We were at Luna Grill, my wife and my son. We were sitting at dinner at the Luna Grill, and both of them started to give me a hard time. And I wanted to defend myself, and I thought I was justified. But I defended myself, and I could feel it. And then my wife said, well, it's okay for you to give someone a hard time, but when someone gives you a hard time, you have a challenge with it. And I had to sit in that for a second, and I felt the whole entire mood shift because I was the one who ruined it. And then last night, we were just about to go to the campground, and my daughter, I asked her to go get my jacket. Well, she did upstairs, and then I was sitting, and I was, I think I was doing something on my phone, and she threw the jacket downstairs. Well, the zipper hit me right dead in the eye, and then I just acted like a dad. And I was like, why would you ever do that? And then I looked up, and before I realized it, she had kind of freaked out a little bit. She sat back, and I ruined that moment. I killed the vibe. And I had just asked her, why would you ever do something like that? But she had just gone to get my jacket that I had asked her to go get. And so probably one of the most notorious ones that I've done as far as ruining it was, in most cases, it's because I had a challenge waiting for something. And so in today's proverb, the corresponding proverb for the corresponding day, it's all about the waiting game. And I don't know if you guys have ever been in this. Maybe it's just me. Maybe I'm the only one that ruins things and kills the vibe. But I was in, I believe, 10th grade. And all I wanted for Christmas was this Oilers parka. And that was the only thing that I could even think of, the only thing that I asked for. But the challenge was there, we didn't live in Houston. There wasn't an internet to be able to buy things on. There was the internet, like the weird science internet, but there wasn't like click, I could buy it today. So to buy a Houston Oilers parka in California was a very tough thing. So that's all I wanted, and we got to Christmas, and, you know, I kept opening gifts, and I looked at the boxes, kind of assessed them, and there wasn't each one that I opened. I got madder until I opened the last gift, and it was very small, and I knew that they couldn't pack an Oilers parka into this little tiny box. Well, the challenge was, is this is the first year that we actually had a video camera. And my parents were videotaping the whole entire Christmas, which was an awesome thing for our family, awful thing for me. Because as I was going through and getting madder and madder as I was opening every gift, I was killing the vibe. I was ruining it because I really didn't have any patience. I just wanted them to bring me my jacket. Well, we get done. All the gifts are done. And I'm just like so pissed. And I get up and I go to the bathroom. Probably about 45 minutes after we're done opening presents, well, I get up, I go to the bathroom, I come back, and in the middle of the floor, there's a big box, and it's wrapped, and I'm like, oh my gosh, I know what that is. But at this time, I had ruined all of Christmas. They had videotaped it. I was a complete idiot the whole entire Christmas time. I was mad at everyone, and here was the thing that I had wanted the whole entire time. Well, as I opened it, every tear of the paper, I knew this is going to be the jacket. This is going to be the jacket. This is going to be the jacket. And I open it up and I was so excited, but all I could think about was I just ruined this entire day for my whole entire family. And they got it on video for the first time. So the lesson that I learned in that was that God already has exactly what we desire on the way. He's working on it, but he's waiting to see how we react when we don't get it. And that, to me, is the waiting game. So in today's proverb, in Proverbs 12, that's what God gave to me today, the waiting game. And it was we're going to talk about discipline, prudence, righteousness, diligence, discipline, righteousness, nobility, prudence, honesty, and diligence. You notice that there's a repeat in those words, but when he talked about the waiting game, there was three parts to it. Number one is never grow weary in doing good works. That's what my mom said. She said, continue to do the good works. Now, the good works would have been for me to continue to just be happy with every single gift that I got through that Christmas. and not to grow weary in doing the right thing, even when the right thing isn't happening for me. And I know that there's a lot of us in the waiting game, whether it be in our business. We're doing the right thing, but the customers aren't coming. We're doing the right thing, but the revenue isn't there. We're doing the right thing, but the team, I can't hire. I can't find employees. I'm doing the right thing in the culture, but people keep reacting completely different. I'm doing the right thing as far as the systems, but it's just not clicking. Well, what's amazing about it is that there's one missing ingredient to all of that, and that is the vibe. It's not the energy that you bring into it. It's the way in which people feel after. And at that Christmas time, you can imagine how my parents felt, how my brother felt. They all knew I was getting the jacket the whole entire time for hours, but I was being a complete idiot the whole time. And they're probably thinking, man, you probably don't even deserve this. But I got it anyway. And see, God has all those things, all the desires of your heart. He has them waiting for you, but he's just asking you to wait on him. And my mom said, never grow weary in doing good works. And what I asked was, but why? And then the next question is, how long did you say? And I don't know if you guys have ever been in this, but there's some questions that we're going to run through the corresponding proverb, corresponding day, 3,000-year-old wisdom that never disappoints. Question number one is, why do I need discipline? In verse 1 of Proverbs 12, it says, whoever loves discipline loves knowledge, but whoever hates correction is stupid. So he hit me right then. And then in verse 27, he said, the lazy do not roast game, but the diligent feed on the riches of the hunt. Why do I need discipline? Because he wants us to feast on the riches of the hunt. Stay diligent, stay patient, and stay disciplined. Question number two is, why do I need to do the right thing? This has plagued me for my whole entire life. And he hit me in verse 2 through 7, verse 10, verse 12, verse 21 through verse 26, and verse 28. And I keep asking God, like, why should I do the right thing when I see a lot of times people that aren't doing the right thing and they get rewards and they get them a lot quicker than I get them? Well, here's where he said in verse 2 through 7, it said, good people obtain favor from the Lord, but he condemns those who devise wicked schemes. No one can be established through wickedness, but the righteousness cannot be uprooted. I sometimes question this because I watch, but God says over time, the plans of the righteous are just, but the advice of the wicked is deceitful. The words of the wicked lie in wait for blood, but the speech of the upright rescues them. So this is where I look at it, and let's go to verse 28, and it says, in the way of righteousness, there is life. Along the path is immortality. Why should I do the right thing? He keeps telling me why I should do the right thing. And then question number three that I had is, why do I need prudence or thought of the future? So prudent, like being prudent, this was a thing that escaped me for so long because I would say it and I'd be like, that person's a prude. I don't like that. And it was always a bad connotation. But then I looked up the word and it was just thinking about the future. So care for the future, meaning that you're not just thinking about the immediate gratifications, that you're thinking about the future glories. Why do I need that prudence? In verse 8 and 9, it says, a person who is praised according to their prudence, and one with a warped mind is despised. Better to be a nobody yet have a servant than to pretend to be somebody and have no food. Big hat, no cattle. I've said it before, but I tell you, this is a hard one for me. And in verse 16, it says, fools show their annoyance at once, but the prudent overlook an insult. Be patient with people, love on people, understand where they're at and where they're from and what they're going through. And verse number 3, the prudent keep their knowledge to themselves, but fools blurt out folly. And in verse 24, it says, the diligent hands will rule, but laziness ends in forced labor. I don't know about you, but I don't want to be in forced labor. The next question that I had is, why should I speak life? Why should I speak life to people? Why should I speak something like speak life and breathe life into them when sometimes I'm waiting for what I want? But here it goes in verse 13 and 14. It says, evildoers are trapped in their sinful talk, and so the innocent escape trouble. In verse number 14, it says, From the fruit of their lips, people will be filled with good things, and the work of their hands will bring them reward. In verse 18, it says, the words of the reckless pierce like swords, but the tongue of the wise brings healing. In verse 19, the truthful lips endure forever, but the lying tongue lasts only a moment. In verse 22, the Lord detests lying lips. He delights in people who are trustworthy. In verse 25, anxiety weighs down the heart, but a kind word cheers it up. How many times have you ever been dealing with anxiety and then somebody comes up and they speak life to you and it lifts you up? Man, we have the power to do that and it doesn't take anything. But I think about, what about when I'm dealing with the anxiety? Should I be speaking life to people? And what God said is yes in verse 13, 14, 18, 19, 22, and 25. Why do I need prudence? Go back to that last question in verse 8, 9, 16, 23, 24. Why should I do the right thing? He hit me with verse 2 through 7, 10, 12, 21, 26, 28 of Proverbs 12, 3,000-year-old wisdom. Here it is. Why do I need wisdom? Because sometimes I don't want to have the right use of knowledge. Sometimes I just want to go about my own way. In verse 15, he said, the way of fools seems right to them, but the wise listen to advice. So imagine what I just said. Sometimes I just want to think what I want to think. I don't want wisdom. I don't want, where do I get wisdom? It's the right use of knowledge, and I get it from the fear of God. How do I fear God? Well, I just respect him. How do I respect him? By spending time with him and understanding his character. So why do I need wisdom? Well, I always need wisdom because when I rely on my own thoughts or my own mind, guess what happens? Generally, there's some bonehead things like me being a bonehead for Christmas. Here it is in verse 18. The words of the reckless pierce like swords, but the tongue of the wise brings healing. Do I want to bring healing to people? Yes, I do. Okay, Lord. Last question that I had is, how can I have joy? You talk about joy. How can I have this in my life? How can I have joy when I'm waiting for something? When I'm supposed to not be weary in doing good works, and I say, but why? And then I say, but how long did you say? How can I have joy in that? Well, joy is different than happiness. Happiness is circumstantial. And circumstantial means that I go high and low. Yay, I got the job. Oh, I'm sad I lost the job. Yay, I got the girl or the boy. Oh, I'm sad I lost the boy or the girl. Yay, I got the money. Oh, I lost the money. That's circumstantial. High, low, high, low. What joy says is falling in love with your current circumstances and allowing the magic to happen around you. And what God's saying is there's magic in this moment right now, son. So this waiting game that you have is by design. But I asked the question, how can I have joy? And he answered that in verse 20. Deceit is in the hearts of those who plot evil, but those who promote peace have joy. You mean that when I promote peace, meaning that I can be content exactly where I'm at, that I can have joy exactly where I'm at, that I can speak life to people, that I could have some discipline, that I could do the right thing, that I can think about the future. You mean to tell me that that will bring joy? Yes. So I guess the waiting game that I'm talking about today is challenging at times, but like my mom said, never grow weary in doing good works. Today's podcast is the corresponding proverb, corresponding day, the Proverbs 12. Now, we're not just doing commentary. I started in on this series. If you like the series on Proverbs, we have it, Wisdom in the Vibe. It's on YouTube. I put it into a playlist. But we also have interviews, and I'm going to be interviewing one of the top motivational speakers in the world coming a little bit later at 9:15 today. You should tune in. Anthony Trucks. This guy is absolutely phenomenal. He's going to be talking about identity shift, this exact thing, the dark work, the work that you do in the dark where nobody sees and you're able to grow because the waiting game is tough. Corresponding proverb, corresponding day, 3,000-year-old wisdom that never, ever, ever disappoints. My name is Kelly Cardenas, and I'm officially off the hot seat. Peace, love, and soul.